I want to remind you of something this morning. A word that comes from Colossians 2:10, and don't turn there because we're going other places. But it says there, and we are complete in Him. Now, I've been asked before, after preaching that, what does that mean? Well, really, it means whatever it means to you. And the question is, how complete do you think you are in Him? What else do you need? Because in each individual, that means something else. Or different things to different people. I guess it would have to do to a certain extent with your faith. I started to say obedience because I honestly believe that our nature, the nature of Christ, the amount of the nature of Christ that we have can be measured by our obedience. But you see, our obedience is based on our faith. You cannot be obedient to something you do not have the faith will work. So it comes down to how much faith do you have to depend on Him? So then how complete can He be in your life? What else do you need besides Jesus? In John 16, and you can turn there if you want to, because we're going to be operating right out of those few verses right in there. But John 16 and verse 31. 16, John 16:31, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" He asked the disciples, "Do you believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come." Now remember, now this is right before He went to the cross. He's talking with them and telling them about His death and His resurrection. And He says, "Now do you believe? The hour comes, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered." You remember when He went to the cross, they went every which way. It scared them to death. "Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He's talking to His disciples here, and He says, the hour cometh when you will be scattered. You know, we take a lot of consolation in the fact that we can get together in fellowship with each other. We look forward to times that we can be with each other. The role of the church is to edify us and encourage us to be more like Christ. And we like to be around each other because it gives us a good feeling about who we are and who, what we stand for, and to be around people who agree with us and what we believe. But so much of the time, we don't have each other. And Jesus is making them aware. You're not going to be in the group. I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to be leading you. You're going to be by yourself. But I want you to know that I'm not going to be alone because the Father is with me. Well, we didn't, at that time, we didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So Christians didn't have a piece of God in them called the Holy Spirit inside of them like we do now. So you see, when they were scattered, and they were away from Jesus and each other, they really didn't have anything. But He told them, "I won't be alone. because God will be with me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but cheer up. Cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. I have overcome the world. Turn back over to John chapter 14. I want to tell you something. You see those things right there. That was before the church started. That was before there was salvation as we know it today. I know Peter was lost because right before that, at the Last Supper, Jesus told him, Peter, when you are converted. So you see, at the Last Supper, Peter wasn't a Christian. Peter wasn't converted. Now, I don't know how many of them were. I know that at the tomb, John was the only one that caught on to what was going on, that Jesus had been resurrected. Peter didn't realize then that that's what had happened. So you see, it's a different time then. But he's making them aware of something. Cheer up. God is with me. And then Jesus created a plan. And I want to remind you about that plan today, to remind you to lean on that, to see it as it is. I'll just be honest with you. When you get messages given to you and you're excited about what they say and about who may be listening, and you're praying for people that will be listening to what you're saying to remind them of what God said, you think of all the people that need this message. Not that it's important that I'm saying anything. They just need the message. There's so many that have missed it because it's not being taught. It's not being taught anymore. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, Jesus told him, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. What did he just say? Cheer up. I have overcome the world. He was directing them to lean on him at that point. But look at this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit now. He's got a plan. He's leaving. But he says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I've got written there in my Bible, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is ministering to us now. He's not dead. He's alive, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he ministers to us now through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. We're beginning to see now the purpose of this peace of God that's been placed inside of us. And then in John chapter 16 and verse 13. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. We see in verse 16 of John 16 that he says he'll be with you forever. Verse 17, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26, he teaches you all things. He brings to your remembrance whatever I have said to you. Think a minute now, please. Here is this being in you that is the third part of God. He placed in us a piece of himself. And if you see in verse 17, it's even the Spirit of truth. Now here we are, down here, without Christ. We have nothing inside of us to teach us anything spiritual. And all of a sudden we accept Christ as our Savior, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus prayed that God would place in us, comes in us, dwells in us, teaches us, brings to our remembrance, tells us about things to come, points us toward Jesus, and is the truth. Now, 1 John, verse 1, don't turn there. I'll turn there for you, and just listen to this as I read it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This know ye, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, of which ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Two things you need to get out of that. Number one, this world is full of false prophets, false preachers, preachers who are not preaching the truth. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. It was here during John's time then, and it's still here now. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Without that scripture right there, that could scare you to death. Knowing that here we are in the world, and wherever we choose to go to church, we won't know. Whenever we turn the TV channel, we won't know. Whatever we hear spoken, spoken for God, in the name of God, can be against God. We won't know that it's the truth. That's the reason it's so easy for Satan to mislead people who are not saved, who don't have the Holy Spirit, because they don't know the truth from a lie. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Now we have talked a good bit about the world has come into the church, and it is. So many of the people, the pastors, the preachers in the pulpits today are not led of God. They're charismatic. They're leaders. They know how to turn people. They know how to influence people. They know how to get people in. They know how to gather a lot of money. They know how to gather a lot of people. And they know how to build big facilities. The problem is, when it comes time for them to preach, they don't know what to say. They're of the world. They speak of the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. By this know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So here we are. We are subject to anything. We do not know what's going to hit our ears next is of God or of Satan himself. But the thing is, as a Christian, as a believer, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who makes that decision for us if we listen to him. Now there's the if. And you see so many people who are listening to error, and they don't know they're listening to error. Now, are they saved? Some of them are. But apparently, they've never been taught or don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit that is inside of them, that has the responsibility from God to show them the truth. We don't have to live like people who don't have the Holy Spirit simply because we have something living inside of us that dwelleth in us and will be with us forever. He'll never leave us to teach us what God wants us to know and what God doesn't want us to know. And throws up those caution signs when we're hearing something. Now, sometimes it's all, and you've heard it, you've heard people you know to be a Christian, well, I just don't know about that. I just had a weird feeling about that. Praise the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit in telling you, you better be careful about listening to that junk. And sometimes that's all we have. But I know myself, and maybe you too, have wanted to have some kind of solid common sense reasoning for knowing that that's not what it's supposed to be. I can remember two instances in my life when we was going to our show one Sunday morning, and I had the radio on listening to a preacher, and this guy believed in reincarnation, but he called himself a born-again believer. Well, in those days, way long time ago, I wasn't near as skeptical as I am now. And I was listening to this booger, and he got talking about how many times he'd seen Jesus between this life and the next life, and he'd had about five lives and whatever. And I'm thinking, man, that's something. I didn't believe reincarnation and Jesus were compatible. And so, you know, there was this confusion in my mind, and I prayed. And God sent me to the Scripture. It's appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. Once to die. Doesn't take any interpretation. People only die once. All these people seen all these lights and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what they saw, but they didn't die. Because when you die one time, you are dead. You don't come back and talk to nobody. Now, what you were, I don't know, and I'm sure it's some kind of phenomenon, and people constantly talk about what they did, but I'm going to tell you something else now. Think about it for a moment. What do they always talk about? The lights. You know the Scripture where it says that the devil can change himself into an angel of light? He can make you think you saw something. I don't know, but I know one thing. My Bible says, I can't die but once. And once I found that out, all this other stuff is garbage. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many people he can hold his hand up and swear to. He can't die but once. There was a guy down in Pensacola, Florida that made a ministry out of numerology. I didn't even know what numerology was. It's the science of numbers. And if you got enough numbers, you can prove anything. And he got to telling about how the last word of this verse and the last word of this verse were the same, and the same number of pages between this one and that one and all this kind of stuff. And I asked an old missionary. I was so fascinated by it. He was going to prove the Bible because there were so many of those coincidences in there. It had to be true because it couldn't be like that without some superpower doing that. And I asked him, and I said, man, that's the neatest thing I ever heard. What do you think about that? And he did like this. He put his finger down. He was a very, very mannerly fellow. If he wasn't, he'd have told me what an idiot I was. But what he said, I wonder if it'd work in a Japanese Bible. I felt like such a fool. And I was immediately embarrassed, and I said, it never occurred to me. He said, if you got enough numbers, you can prove anything. Now, here's a fellow that has wasted all his time trying to prove the Bible. You can't prove the Bible. The first three words in the Bible say, in the beginning, God. Now, if you can't accept that, you might as well close the book and go to the house. Nowhere does it try to prove that there is even a God. You got to believe there's a God to even stay with the book. So you see, we are equipped with the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt to me the Holy Spirit directed me to ask that man about the numerology. There's no doubt that the Holy Spirit sent me to that scripture that said it is appointed unto man once to die. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do, one way or another. And it gets me that people try to put the Holy Spirit in a box. Oh, he would never do that. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit can do anything he wants to do. Why wouldn't he do that? If Jesus healed blind people six times in the Bible and did it four different ways, don't you think that he's trying to prove to us that I can do anything I want to do? How does Jesus heal the blind? Well, this time he spit in the dirt, made mud, you know, and this time he just told him to go wash in the river. That time he touched him. The next time he just spoke a word. Why can't he be consistent with all this stuff? You know why I think he can't? He can. He don't want to. He wants to constantly show us I can do it any way I want. So then, how can you predict whether something is of God or not? I've heard preachers say, you can't teach people to follow the Holy Spirit. They'll be doing all kind of weird stuff. Amen. They sure will be. They'll be doing what God wants them to do. And he says we are a peculiar people. And I've told you before when I preached it, I looked that word up, beyond usual. So if you follow the Spirit, you might as well get used to being weird, because these folks we just read about in 1 John are going to figure you're weird because they're of the world, and the world can't see the Holy Spirit, has nothing to do with it, don't even know what it is. So how then could they begin to understand what you're doing following the Holy Spirit? But you see, yet, Jesus has a plan. He had to leave, but he didn't leave us unprotected. He left us with the Holy Spirit. Now you say this, why then is it not taught any more than it is? I've got a theory. It's personal. It's not inspired. Maybe you don't agree with it. But back in the 40s and 50s, there were certain denominations who got really caught up in this thing about the Holy Spirit, and they started worshiping the Holy Spirit. And there was a movement started in the 70s to get away from those folks who were improperly worshiping the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were jumping pews, they were falling out, they were laughing themselves into hysteria, and all this kind of stuff. And there was a group of people who started what we now call this fundamental movement. And to get away from those people who were worshiping the Spirit, they quit talking about the Spirit at all. Now, we have a tendency as people, I've learned, to overreact. Anytime we try to run away from something, we always go way too far. We either get too caught up with it or too far away from it. And there's usually a balance somewhere in the middle. And I think that probably Satan, in his reasoning, if you will, to get us from listening to the Holy Spirit, thinking about the Holy Spirit, utilizing the Holy Spirit in us, because Jeremiah says that it is not within man to direct his own path. My ways is far from your ways as heaven is from earth. So we don't know how to direct our path spiritually. And Jesus left us that Holy Spirit to do that for us. And if we don't have anything to do with it, we're in a pretty poor state. Because you see, when you study about the Holy Spirit, you see that in every case, the Holy Spirit is directing our attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, if you will, is kind of Jesus' assistance. That's what he's supposed to do, is point us toward Christ. Not to be worshipped himself, not to take any of the credit himself, but to pass everything on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he does. It says here that he will take everything that I have given him and give it to you. You know, it says in Scripture that Jesus came like us in all things, that he might know how to direct us and represent us to God, the Father. He ministered so we might have an example in the flesh. He died and rose again that we might be saved. He had God send the Holy Spirit that we might have a comforter and a guide. The Bible says that we carry within each of us who are saved a part of God who has a responsibility to teach us, bring to our remembrance everything Jesus has said, and to identify truth to us, tell us things to come. Who do we listen to? Jesus still dictates to us through the Holy Spirit. And so many people now, if you understand their way of worshiping, really and truly now, and I'm not trying to carry this thing too far. But they treat Jesus like he's already dead. He's not alive anymore. He's not working with us through the Holy Spirit. He gave us the book, and he said all these things in order that we might be directed. But as far as he is, he's dead. So I say today that we pray that God might direct us through the Spirit. That we turn our attention to the Spirit. Some people build their personal doctrine on what they hear. They don't check it out with the Bible. So many people now don't go home after a sermon and check out something weird. They don't write a little note that something that they wasn't sure was right and go back and check it out themselves. We are given the responsibility, as it said a while ago in 1 John. God has given us the responsibility to decide what is of God and what is not of God. We have the Holy Spirit there to show us what it is. But like I said, so many times, we never even make an attempt to check it out. They choose to believe speakers who have charisma, a good speaking voice, a great personality, or super academic credentials. And you know, if you want to be critical, I've been caught up with that myself. I've made mistakes listening to people because they sounded like they were right until you get to taking what they said apart and find out that it's not true. Why would we be impressed with those kind of things when Jesus himself said, if we're going to come to him, we got to come to him like lap children? That was the word, lap children,
like a little child. But the word that was used in the Greek was children you can put in your lap. So you see, we don't need the intelligence. We don't need all this other stuff. All we need is faith and to believe what we hear. Something I've learned and something I've been taught, that when we get right, the few times I've been right, when we get right and we're in a fellowship with God and we're listening to the Holy Spirit and we're praying for the Holy Spirit, you know, when God tells you something, you hear it, you don't try to trust Him, you don't try to have faith, you don't try to be obedient. You just do. You see, if God has given me His character, He's given me a new creation, a new disposition. So when God speaks to me through the Holy Spirit, He's speaking to His own character. He's not speaking to an alien being like unsaved folks. He's speaking to His own self. If He is speaking to His own self and I'm hearing that inside of me, how can I help but trust and obey Him? I don't have to try. You don't have to go it alone. The one who died for you and saved you has made a way. Listen for Him. Call on Him. And be obedient when you hear. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's not a nasty thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a crazy thing. And some folks, yes, mishandled it and did some crazy things with it. But that doesn't make it bad. It's part of God's plan. And for us to leave it alone, the only way that Jesus left to guide us is for us to walk around not knowing what we're doing. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning that even though Jesus left, that He left a way for us to be protected. I thank You, Lord, this morning for the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You would teach us to use it properly and not to misuse it, that we might grow in You. Because, Lord, we can't grow without it. And might be the very people that You'd have us be. Lord, we pray that the churches will learn to support the work of the Holy Spirit in the believers' lives. That instead of working for their own cause, we'll work to support the work of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives. And, Lord, as we find ourselves alone and without each other, at a time when maybe we're upset or confused or don't know what to do, make us realize that we have within us all that we need, that we are complete in Jesus and complete in the Holy Spirit that He works through and left here to guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.